What would you say to a kid? Let's say a kid, you know, you meet a 15-year-old kid in the street and they ask you, you know, where do you work? And you say, I work in construction. And they tell you, oh, you know, construction is not cool. You know, I think computer science is cool. You know, tech is cool. Construction not cool.
Not at all.
What would you say?
We are able to change society and to improve society forever. We establish a permanent fit of our presence in the earth. And our fit is improving society. And you don't get that in other employees. Yeah. It's impossible. For example, in Chile, when we participate in the subway line construction, in line 6 and line 3, we did 12 stations and the whole design and construction of all the cladding of inside the stations. When people enter into their new stations, when the inauguration day, people enter crying.
Wow.
Everybody, because they spent 1 hour traveling, 1 hour traveling back from their homes to the work. And that subway lane gave them 15 minutes 15 minutes back.
Wow.
So every day they earn 1 hour and a half.
Unbelievable.
Every day. From that was lost. And now they had that time from to be with their children or the family or whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
So people enter crying. And that's something that you do and that will stay for them, for their children, for their grandsons forever.
Welcome to Building Leaders, everyone. Welcome back. Today we have with us Ricardo from Ferrovio. He is the global head of digital construction. He has a decorated career. He's been with Ferrovio for quite a while. Ricardo, welcome. We'd love to hear first and foremost about you. What's your actual title? What's your role at Ferrovio? Tell us a little bit about you, a little bit about your company for those, the very few that don't know who Ferrovio is.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for the invite. My title is really long. I'm responsible of digital construction and data management. What does it mean? Everything related with digitalization of the company and better use of data in order to convert the company into a data-driven company. So related about what is Ferrovial? Ferrovial is the most sustainable construction company in the world. If we hear the Dow Jones Sustainable Index, we are a global company that was born in Spain 70 years ago. Very familiar company, although we are in the stock market. And our main markets are United States, United Kingdom, Poland, Spain, Australia, and some countries of South America.
That's incredible.
We have several divisions. I belong to the one related with construction. We have another division related with airports. We own part of Heathrow Airport, Aberdeen, Glasgow, Southampton, and just we have entered into the stake of the JFK Terminal 1. We also have another company related with a concessionaire of highways with a strong focus in the United States, and another related with mobility and energy.
Wow.
So we have our car sharing company in partnership with Renault and also, we promote several electric fields and transmission lines.
I saw Dimitris Bundolos. I saw him driving to one of his interviews with one of those car sharing companies. That's absolutely incredible. Was it, Ricardo, was it always a dream of yours to work in Ferrovio? Was it like one of your goals? Did it sort of happen organically? How did you...
No, not at all. I always wanted to be in construction. I studied civil engineering because I wanted to be in construction. I loved architecture and I loved civil engineering, but my parents told me to study in a school in my home city. And there is a school, the most important school of Spain, or the second most important, related with civil engineering, and there are no schools related with architecture. So I studied civil engineering. When I was in the fifth course, civil engineering in Spain was a study of six courses. Ferrovial offers several practices in summer to students, and they began like a very objective and very good process of how selecting people to participate in their partnership or their scholarship process. And the other companies just send proposals and with names already selected by them or related with important people or whatever process. But Ferrovial took two people from human resources. They did a very good process related with a test first, then several questions, then a group, and finally a personal interview. And I found that was the enterprise I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Because of that selection process. I began working in Ferrovial 22 years ago, more than 22 years ago. And Ferrovial is a company that chooses people from university and they promote them to have a good and a long career inside the company.
Ricardo, does that even happen now? You know, because there's quite a bit of a high turnover with employees everywhere you look. I mean, Mihalis was at Google and he left when he was there after 4 years.
Yeah.
And you were basically, you know, one of the most senior people there. Has Ferrovial managed to maintain this culture even now? Yes. With the younger generation?
Yes.
How do you do that?
Not as good as it was 22 years ago, because we are much bigger and it's complicated to control that process worldwide, but it happens. I mean, my boss, the boss of my boss, and you keep the line until the president, they enter in the same way. So, well, in Spain, there was a problem because of construction crisis in 2007.
Yeah.
That generated that construction disappear, 90% of construction just disappeared.
Yeah.
So the company didn't hire new people in Spain. They just waited until people retire because of age. But since seven years ago, the process of hiring new people began.
Amazing.
And these people will keep on going. When I was in Chile, we did more or less the same process. We hired people from Chilean people from university, and we began that process of promoting them and teaching them. And now they are good professionals. Some of them some Chilean came out to Spain and they are in the Spanish company.
You know, it's really impressive, Ricardo. I'm a child of the construction industry. I grew up in Saudi Arabia. My dad worked in a company called JMP, and it was one of the largest construction companies in the world at the time. And it was up to, at some point, I think 2014, one of the largest in Saudi Arabia. And all the employees were there for like 30, 40 years. And, you know, when I hear my dad speak, he absolutely loved that company. He talks about his company with love. And it's something you don't hear that anymore. It's getting more rare and rare.
In our company, we have that feeling.
Amazing.
But we don't do the same work 30 years. Yeah. We promote, we change, we evolve, we do different tasks in different countries, in different geographies. So it's like changing from company, but inside the same company. So we keep the same culture, no matter where you are, more or less. It's not so easy because we grew a lot.
Yeah,
you feel that we don't have red blood, we have yellow blood.
Yeah. I love it.
How do you manage to maintain the culture as you know, the number of employees grows so dramatically over the years?
That's a problem. That's a problem. In Spain, it's quite easy. In our home market, it's quite easy. I mean, Poland, they have that feeling. Spain, Portugal, France, it's quite easy. In Chile, I felt we were doing that job. And in North America, Weber Company has a strong culture, and our construction company, the Ferrovial Construction US, it tries to do just the very same. But it's a long work with a long horizon to get that. It's quite easy, quite difficult when you grow organically too fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. Ricardo, tell us a little bit about you. How did you, so when I first met you, you were in Chile and you told me, Angelos, I'm going to be back. I'm going to be back in Europe in like a few weeks. How did you, but you stayed in Chile for quite a while. How did you end up there and what were you working on there?
Yes, I entered in practicership in 1999. When I was studying sixth course, and I entered into the enterprise in the early 2000, okay? So I entered in south of Spain in building construction, practicing the engineer. Then after several sites, I went to production engineer, site manager, and general manager of several site construction, okay? And in year 2013, the company offered me to travel to Chile to develop a new business line we didn't have in Chile. That was the one related with building construction. We were in Chile since 1996 maybe, and we did all kind of businesses, but mainly highways and nothing about buildings. So I was proposed to travel there and to develop that business. And we thought it in the family. It was a really difficult decision, but finally we accept and we travel to Chile on June 2013.
How did you make that decision? I can't even imagine, you know, telling my wife we're gonna move to Chile.
I love
South America, but
it was a professional. It was a promotion, and it was a bid from the family. But of course,
yeah.
The big loser of that decision was my wife.
Yeah.
By far. I own her everything forever and even more because she studied civil engineering with me. She has a master's degree and she is PhD. She was working. I just collapsed her career. So it was, but thinking as a family, she decided to go further. But yes, I should apologize every day to her because of that.
Grateful,
very, very grateful.
Why we finally accept? Because the person that proposed me that role was my former boss.
Yeah,
and we had a very close relationship, and I found that if he was proposing that, it should be a good offer. So I trusted on him, not on the offer.
Yeah.
And that's why we chose traveling to that country.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, I see what you mean, and I see the sacrifice that women make a lot of times for super ambitious spouses, and men sometimes for their super ambitious siblings. Although I do see that in our culture, it's quite often, at least in my circle, it's quite often more women that end up making this sacrifice than men. And absolutely grateful for that. And I think I love that you mentioned it, because I think that for all the successes, they should be part of the story, because without them, nothing would have been possible.
Completely. But imagine that you study 6 years of university, and after that you do 3 years of a master's degree, and after that you do 5 years of a PhD.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you have everything established and you are progressing your career, you have to cut everything because of your husband.
Yeah.
Well, it was hard.
Really. Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine.
Do you find yourself many times having conversations and about work, you know, being a civil engineer herself as well, and being able to maybe give you some guidance and all these kind of things? Do you find yourself having many business conversations at home as well?
At home, no, because it was not in construction. She was in research, and she was teaching in the school, in the university as well. So she didn't want anything related with construction or design, only of researching new developments and teaching others.
Yeah, got it. So you arrive in Chile.
Yes.
Did you know anyone? Was it scary when you first got there? How was it?
The company was in Chile since 1998, or when I told you, 1996.
Yeah.
So the company was established in Chile, but the decision was taken from Spain, not from Chile.
Yeah.
So the country director, he accepted the decision, but it wasn't his decision.
Right.
So the entry was quite difficult because it was like, here you are and find your way and do anything.
Yeah.
It's not that you enter into a business accompanied or into a contract. No, try to find clients, team, where you live, school, everything without any help from anybody.
Yeah. 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 And then how do you cope with that? How do you overcome that? You know, you stayed there quite a while, so it must have been successful for you. How do you get through something like that? You know,
I was always thinking about long term. Yeah. I was thinking in long term. I was sent without knowing when I was going to come back to Spain. Originally, it should be between 2 years and 5. But I was always thinking about establishing a new business line for in a long-term idea. I wasn't in a hurry. I just had to do a step by step and keep going further.
Yeah. And Ricardo, when did this passion, so, you know, when you were there, over there, it wasn't always about digital construction, right? It was...
No, it was about building of business, construction of buildings.
Right. Just proper hardcore construction. How did you, you're pretty passionate about tech. I have to say, you're one of the most passionate people that I know in the industry about tech. You have an eye for seeing what's coming. It seems every time I talk to you about a new technology, you already know it. You might have already tested it.
No, because I have several hobbies.
Yeah.
One is driving and the other is technology. It's something I have always liked to research new things, and it's something that passionates me.
You're like a gadget person? Your house is full of gadgets and stuff?
Yes, I am a gadget person. But for example, when I was 12, my father bought a... You for sure you don't know. There was the Commodore and the Amstrad, and my father bought one that was British Dragon,
yeah,
computer, 32Ks. Mm-hmm. And it was based on BASIC. And the computer came with a book of how to program in BASIC.
Yeah.
And I just read the book and I studied and I learned by myself how to program. Because I love these kind of things. Okay. So it's something that I have always loved. But for example, one of my brothers, he studied telecommunication. Well, and that's even farther than that.
Yeah.
So it's something that I have always liked, and I like to search news related with technology and how everything evolves.
Did it ever cross your mind, am I going to study civil engineering or am I going to go into computer science?
No. I always wanted to be in construction.
What was the reason behind that? Most people don't know what they want at 18. Did you just love buildings or what?
I had it very clear since I was 6 years old, maybe.
Wow.
When I went to the beach, I built mountains, I built tunnels, roads, things like that on the sand.
Unbelievable.
Do you remember the first time you were excited about tech in construction? A piece of tech used?
No. One thing is technology and the other was construction.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't mix, but for example, when I entered in the company in the north of Spain, I remember entering to the site and they said, here you have the photocopy machine,
yeah,
and paper and a pen. And I said, well, I have a computer. Why don't generate a spreadsheet and things like that? And they watched it at me like, you are losing your time. You are crazy, but generating spreadsheets and relate one to the other, you know, something that you feel so clearly basic now.
Yeah.
Or for example, open the drawings through Autodesk, AutoCAD. I remember everybody seeing me like an stranger.
Yeah. What was the first time though that you actually used tech in construction? Do you remember an instance where, you know, this changed?
What do you talk about tech?
Technology, any sort
everything
of technology.
Technology, a computer is technology.
Yeah. Yeah.
Picture is technology. The first time. Very simple. In fifth of career, 1998, I was in a highway in Cantabria for 2 months, and all the team had the pictures on paper. So I had an scanner at home, and I generated them a CD where I compiled all the pictures of the site construction, and I generate a web page. When the CD, you introduce the CD, the web page open and you could begin selecting some parts of the highway and see the pictures. And people got in love with that because it was the first time they saw a picture digitalized. It's so basic now, but for them it was like a shocking.
Why do you think construction is one of the least digitized industries on the planet, you know, as a whole?
You enter into construction with a career and you discover you know nothing about construction. You know how to design, or you think you know how to design, and you learn from the supervisor. That's the truth. We all have learned from the supervisor. And supervisor comes from a career of traditional work, and you see somebody is smarter or with some abilities, and they don't know anything. I mean, many people didn't know how to write.
Yeah.
So you learn from people that sometimes weren't able to read or write. I think So you learn to do things as usual. And I think maybe that's a way why construction is so late in digitalization.
Yeah. It's kind of incredible how that happened. You know, and I remember in Saudi how we used to have thousands of labormen arrive from Asia, from India, from Sri Lanka, from Pakistan, you know, you name it. And it's exactly what you said, you know, and they didn't know, they had no skills in many cases. I mean, I was, you know, I found that out a little bit later in my later years. They absolutely had no skills. They just arrived there and, you know, the companies had to teach them, or their seniors had to teach them, you know, they had to ask them, what do you want to do? And they would say, I want to paint. Okay, well, we'll teach you how to become a painter. You know, what do you want to do? I want to, you know, I think electricians are cool. Okay, we'll teach you how to be an electrician. And you're absolutely right. You know, it's those people passing on the knowledge.
Yes, it is changing by far. But originally, what industries hire people with no skills at all?
Yeah.
Agriculture and construction. And agriculture has technified a lot and has evolved. And construction is in that way.
Yeah. Now, Spain in particular has a big history of construction, right? You've had a global influence in worldwide architecture, and still, you know, it's still the case. Do you think that it's one of the reasons, it's one of the factors that pushes Spain forward, or do you feel it holds Spain as a construction sector backwards because of the history there? Meaning, we don't digitize as much as we should, or because we have this history, we digitize, you know, we're in the forefront of innovation, let's say, when it comes to construction.
Spanish construction companies have been quite innovative, historically, very innovative. And that's why construction companies in Spain has spread so much, because of innovation. Yeah. But I think crisis in construction in Spain, because of subprime in the United States, that generated like a loss of 10 years, 20 years.
Yeah, you think so, huh? Absolutely.
And you see, because our own company has different speeds in digitalization and depending on the country. So it's not a matter of Spanish construction companies, it's a matter of what happened here.
Yeah.
We kept on growing in construction from the whole country from the 90s, 92 until 2006, 2007.
Yeah.
I mean, the growth of the country was of almost 10% or something like that. Incredible, continuous growing, and construction was one of the industries that grew more.
Ricardo, if you had your own, if you could start a construction company from scratch right now, how would that construction company look like? What would be your, let's say, your top priorities as a?
It would be being focused, being centered by far. Completely. The model would be a must. The BIM model would be a mass, and it would be completely focusing in BIM. No paper, everything digitalized, and the most use of technology as possible interconnected with the digitalization.
Whether the client wants it or not, full BIM.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. Why do you think companies are not adopting BIM as much as they should? You know, it's been around since the 70s. Most people don't know, but BIM, or the concept of BIM, has been around for, you know, since the 70s. Well, you know, why are we still not, you know, why still not every project not BIM enabled?
Because it's a design, construction, and asset management process. So it's a whole life cycle, a way of thinking. And you have many parties that, if one of them doesn't want to use the BIM methodology, you suffer the lack of that implementation. And why construction companies don't enter? I think we are entering. But we are, a partner of us told that we are like elephants, big, strong, but that move very slow. And there are some construction companies that are like gazelles. They are smaller, but very fast.
Yeah.
So I feel smaller construction companies can change much faster. We are changing, and all construction companies are changing, but it takes time. You have to push continuously, very strong, and with no rest.
Sort of one of the things that is very impressive to me when I interact with Rovio is how much power your innovation team has and how involved they are. So you are speaking with people in the field, you're there with them you listen to them, you take their opinion into account, you have them being part of the conversation. Is that done on purpose? Is that done by design, or is that done more so organically
inside our company, inside our culture? The company was founded 70 years ago by the father of our current president, and his first contract awarded was because he implemented innovation. He bought several machines developing in Germany, and he was able to do automation in construction, and he improved efficiency by far. So it's something inside ourselves. When we have designed a digitalization strategy inside the company, because our CEO wants that all the sites will be digitalized by 2024, mandatory. So we got the support from MIT. There is a master called Go Lab, Sloan MBA. Several students of that master, they travel worldwide in order to help us in this strategy. One of the results of the documents, they say that our main strength is that innovation is inside everybody. No matter what country they visited, they found all the people wanted to innovate. And that's a really strength of the company. And they said, use that strength in order to implement digitalization. So it's not something that you fail. It's something that everybody that enters into the company and meet people discover.
Innovation is inside of everybody. That's absolutely incredible. What a great insight.
Yes, but the world engineer comes from ingenious. So you have to innovate, you have to generate something different.
The company takes it out of you, I guess.
It's absolutely incredible. I love it. I never even thought about that. You know, it's kind of hard. Sometimes you look at the tree and maybe you miss the forest, right? You know, we talk to companies every day about digitizing, and I think we've done, Mihaly, probably over, I don't know, 1,000 calls last time that we counted. I think it was 1,200 or something. And change is one of those things that people are just so afraid of.
It's very hard.
And especially in such a traditional industry. But how do you get the innovation out of people, out of your team? How do you do it?
Well, first of all, innovation is a parent department, okay? I'm not responsible for innovation, but we work together.
Yeah.
If people find an immediate benefit, they embrace innovation and they embrace change. They are not aware about changes. They're aware about long journeys or the difficulty of the first beginning of change effort. So they want to see the real result. If they see the result of that effort and they find it's good for them, they embrace it. We have to select how to implement technology or digitalization or tools that give them value. And we began, I told you when we met, that we want to implement pilots in projects. Okay, we find somebody who is more passionate about technology, we do a test in that site. If it has success, we do a second or third, and then we go to business or to a specific department in order to find support from them and to spread technology and to spread digitalization.
So it's like a push and pull sort of approach. Yes. I'm not sure. Cool. What would you say to a kid? Let's say a kid, you meet a 15-year-old kid in the street and they ask you, where do you work? And you say, I work in construction. And they tell you, construction's not cool. What, I think computer science is cool. You know, tech is cool. Construction's not cool.
Not at all.
What would you say?
we are able to change society and to improve society forever. We establish a permanent fit of our presence in the earth. And our fit is improving society. And you don't get that in other employees. Yeah. It's impossible. And for example, in Chile, when we participate in the subway line construction, in line 6 and line 3, we did 12 stations. Okay, and the whole design and construction of all the cladding of inside the stations. When people enter into their new stations, when the inauguration day, people enter crying.
Wow.
Everybody, because they spent 1 hour traveling, go 1 hour traveling back from their homes to the work. And that subway lane gave them 15 minutes go, 15 minutes back.
Wow.
So every day they earn 1 hour and a half.
Unbelievable.
Every day. From that was lost, and now they had that time from to be with their children or the family or whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
So people enter crying. And that's something that you do and that will stay for them, for their children, for their grandsons forever.
I feel it's something that we probably don't communicate enough in construction.
Yeah, I think
it's,
so.
It's so many emotional stories surrounding the building, surrounding the infrastructure. And
it took 200,000 cars out of the street. You reduce pollution, you improve time. So we improve society in a permanent way. And that will stay, and my son will see that, and my grandson, and, you know, forever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating. I love that. And I think I also think that, you know, tech is coming into construction now. It's like making a move. In all fairness to construction, I feel maybe construction wasn't ready for tech, but I also feel tech wasn't ready for construction. You know, look at a laptop, look at a PC. The construction site is not a friendly environment for that, is it? It's only been now with the cell phones and the, you know, the 360 cameras that sort of work anywhere and you can drop them and they won't break, and that tech also got ready for construction. It's kind of funny how that turned out to be. Did you see change in mindset? You know, since you were so passionate about tech, I'm sure you couldn't even remember, you know, what was the first time you used tech. It was like, that's the answer I got from you. So like, I always use tech. You know, what was the, you know, what's that kind of question? Did you see a change in mindset ever since the cell phones came in people's lives and people started to use smartphones?
I feel it's changed, but not with smartphones, with the democratization of technology.
Yeah.
Because now everybody uses smartphones, but when smartphones enter, people began like watching it like keep that far from me. No, I want the Nokia that doesn't break. Now everybody uses it, no matter what age and no matter what kind of. I mean, there are more phones, more smartphones than people, more by far. No,
yeah.
At least in Spain, there are more lines, mobile lines, than people. So when everybody sees that as usual as having breakfast, is when this is changing. And enterprises have found the benefit of use of data and how can it improve efficiency by far. And not only the company, but also people. But now everybody is focused on that, in improving.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, we often talk about, I just feel construction isn't one of those industries that's scared of tech taking the jobs of people. I feel partly because we know that our work is way too complex and it will probably never be fully replaced. It's going to change in many ways, but it's probably never going to be fully replaced. What do you think about that?
I think the problem is not that. The problem is that the construction, I mean, for example, a car factory.
Yeah.
You design a car and you build 1 million cars.
Yeah.
But construction is you design and build 1 million different sites for your life. So it's always, every site is different from the other.
Yeah.
You don't copy and paste. So you have to re-begin work, or that's what people think. You have to redo everything from the beginning every time you go to change from one site to another.
Yeah.
And that's why people say, no, I cannot do the same because this is different from the other. And that. And I think that's the main stopper of technology and change, maybe.
Yeah. If there were ever a technology that fully took over the construction industry, you know, one software provider that was the master of construction, let's say. First of all, do you think that's even possible in construction, given the...
It's impossible. I think it's impossible. It's impossible in any technology, in any industry.
Yeah.
Finally, there will be like 2-3 main softwares or main providers, and they will compete between themselves.
Yeah,
that's something that happens in all businesses.
So I feel the message, you know, the message going out both as an implementer and as a user from your end is make sure you integrate with others, be open with your APIs. That's the way to win in construction. Absolutely.
You don't have to focus on the technology, but in the process, digitalization and how you want to establish the improvement. And you will change technology, or you will change brand or supplier. But there will be a natural selection of species where you will have two or three.
What gets you excited, Ricardo, from the technologies you see right now, the upcoming ones, or any particular verticals that you're interested the most?
I feel we are just in a boiling moment where there are hundreds, thousands of startups. Now you have the ability that anybody can redesign, can generate some technology that can change by far. It's like the moment where everything is going to be established. As you said, it's when iPhone was first revealed and Android just entered publicly 2 months before, and you had the Windows phone. You had everything in the boiling moment when this is going to go fast and develop for sure and forever.
Yeah.
And it's easy. I mean, you find people with nothing, that they just have the idea, they generate the program, the software, the technology, and they launch it to the market.
Yeah. And in construction seems to be really, it has been one of those verticals that it has attracted quite a lot of talent, quite a lot of interest. The tech companies see it as a big challenge.
Because there is so much to do and there is a huge opportunity to improve.
Yeah.
When you have a mature industry, it's difficult to improve or it's difficult to change something. We are too far. But BIM implementation is a way to collect data and to unify that through some, for better information management. That's what for us means BIM. So there is really a way to collect those data and take the advantage from that. Data, technology, everything.
Ricardo, if you were right now a venture capitalist and you had billions of euros and you could invest in any company, not in any company, in any construction technology vertical, where would you place your bets right now? Your biggest bet?
In all the process, in all technologies that automate processes that you do manually now.
Mm.
Because that's like the first step. And the second, artificial intelligence that automate design.
I love that.
For me, there are like three main points. To get knowledge from individual knowledge into enterprise knowledge, because the problem of construction is that you enter knowing nothing, and you, because of your experience, you get value, and your experience learned to what you should do or not. So you are more valuable as elder you are, because of your experience. But enterprises doesn't collect that experience.
Yeah.
And the way of, write your best practices or your lesser learned, that's not the way of collecting experience. So the way how we can transfer individual knowledge into enterprise knowledge is key, and Google and all these searchers, they do that. They get your knowledge of your behaviors and what you like or not, and they transform that into a collect enterprise knowledge from Google, and they sell that and they use that. No, I say Google or Facebook, whatever you want.
Yeah, some sort of an automation. Yeah, I get it.
But it doesn't happen in construction.
Okay, that's true.
The second is to parametric or generative design thinking in the whole life cycle. Yeah. For me, that's another key, because if you analyze how we work, we design once and design team doesn't know prices in construction or problems or health and safety issues, because they don't receive those data. And if you are able to automate all the process through generative design that collects data from construction process, from operation and everything, you will design hundreds, thousands of times.
Yeah.
And that will improve for sure. And the third is automate processes.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous that you have people taking pictures, that you have people measuring how much walls you have built.
Yeah.
That you have people, there are thousands of processes that you do manually in the back office, but also in the direct cost.
Yeah.
And automate that is something that has to be done.
Absolutely. So you were in Chile, you moved to Spain now, you've been there for the past 2 years?
Eight years.
How?
I was in Chile for 8 years.
You were in Chile for 8 years. Now you're back in Spain. How has your life changed, or has it changed at all? How is it like to be back home?
I'm from Santander, one of the most beautiful cities in
Spain. Oh, I've been there. Absolutely. You have a nice beach for surfing.
And we have a nice project with you there.
Yes. And I mean, moving to another country was defiant, but I learned a lot. I got very good friends, and professionally it was great. But I kept on the same role, business construction, building construction. But when I came to Spain, I came to Madrid, which is not my hometown, and doing something which is not directly construction. It is giving support to construction managers.
Yeah.
So it has been a change to travel to a new city, to do something different from the things I was doing. But luckily, I have a huge, well, not huge, I have a small but really valuable team. And because of them, everything is easier. The people that work for me, they are really impressive. Yes.
I have to admit to it that they are really impressive. It's actually, you might not know this, but it's one of the things that Michalis and I use when we interview people to join our company, you know, that you're going to work with some of the coolest people in construction, and you know, your team is one of those teams. How do you choose, on what basis do you choose a team like that? What do you look for when you look to hire new people in your team?
The department I'm the head in, the head of, was created by one of the best people I have met in construction, Teodoro Álvarez. He created a team in United Kingdom in 2015. He had a vision of the company, of digitalization, of BIM implementation, everything. And he was leading the whole company since 2018. Okay, and he hired the people, he generated everything. So all the value is to him. The problem is that he died because of COVID.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Absolutely horrible.
And somebody had to occupy his position, and that's why I'm here.
Absolutely horrible.
The value of the team is because, and the vision and how the company is working is because of his work. I'm just trying not to destroy what he did, and try to follow his path and his vision. But he selected people. He selected the team. I'm just trying not to destroy things.
May he rest in peace. What I'll say is that, what I can say is that you're definitely doing quite a bit more than you know, trying not to disturb the waters. I mean, you're really pushing the innovation envelope forward and the digitization envelope forward.
You should have met him. He was brilliant, brilliant, really brilliant.
No doubt. I mean, I can see the you know, all the good work that's been happening. What's from all of the different types of projects that you worked on, was there one that stood out to you? You know, you look at it with you know, love, passion, you know, you're like, oh, what a great project.
There are many great projects. I love the one of Santander's Bank because it's my hometown. I work with the people in that side, but JFK is a project I would like to follow. But many, I mean, we are in a highway. The good thing of my new role is that I can travel a lot and know better how the company is working and how many good people we have worldwide. I mean, I wouldn't be able to tell you a project. I visited London and the Thames Tideway, Silvertown people, Heathrow, all these people are really impressive. I visited Poland and you get impression of how they have changed, how they have improved, how efficient they are. If you travel to the States, you see the highways, five lines going, five lines back, crosses everywhere, and how alone they are and how much they have improved through implementation of technology and digitalization and everything. And of course, in Chile, I mean, I couldn't select a preferred project because it would be unfair.
Yeah,
but there are too many. Yes,
I love the Santander Bank. There, it's you know, I think
it's my hometown,
and it's a culturally significant. You know, it's absolutely beautiful. It's culturally significant. It's like it's big and it's impressive too.
It will be a great museum. It would be a great museum.
Can't wait to visit Mihaly. Maybe we can put we can put some shots of the of the project during the podcast release.
It's beautiful. It's amazing places there. I've been there for a week. Really nice.
Yeah. What would you recommend to someone visiting Sant Adrià to do? Like, what are the top things that they should do when they visit there?
It would take a month. at least. No, the region is really beautiful, but all of Spain is impressive. But I would recommend to see the coast, the traditional city, the restaurants. I would recommend you to travel to the natural parks in the west. I would recommend to travel to, there is a valley, very beautiful, Liebana Valley. Very, very special, but you have also close the mountains, valleys, and you know, it's called the infinite region.
Wow.
That's the theme of the region, Cantabria Infinita, infinite.
Wow. I did a road trip around Spain once. I'm not sure if I passed through Sant Adrià. I'm going to go visit because of you.
It's very small.
I'm going to go visit though. It was one of my favorite. So we used to do a lot of traveling with my family growing up. The last trip we did together after, you know, we became, you know, 18, 19, my sister and I, and you know, no one wanted to travel with mom and dad.
It's my hometown. Yeah. In my hometown. I mean, you have hundreds of cities and places in Spain. Impressive.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, it was, it really was one of my favorite trips.
I'm not objective. I'm subjective in this way.
It's okay. It's okay. Well, you know, if you don't talk about your hometown, you know, who will? But, you know, to the podcast listeners, Sant Adrià sounds like an amazing city and they have really good construction if you want to go check out some stuff. Ricardo, as we're closing in on time, it's a question we love to ask is, how would you like to see construction 10 years from now? Not what do you think, how would you like to see construction 10 years from now? What are some things that you'd like to see that...
More efficient, less pollution, I neutral carbon emission for sure, more sustainable, and fully digitalize and optimize all the processes. I mean, we lose a lot of material, we generate a lot of waste, we do a lot of rework, and sometimes you find you could improve design and you could improve all the process.
Yeah.
So I think, or I wish to go to a lean construction process, design, construction, everything, with no waste, with no pollution, with no problems, and very, very neat and lean.
Yeah. How do you do that? Like, you said is the most sustainable company in the world, the most sustainable construction company. How do you achieve something like that? You know, I feel, you know,
we have launched a new program to improve environmentally inside the company by far, because there is a lot of work to do. We are developing a carbon tool emission that will connect BIM models through database of carbon emissions and EPDs from providers.
No kidding. Wow.
Yes. And later, through parametric design or in artificial intelligence, we will be able to select the best material with the less produce of carbon emission. But through a better logistic way, by implementation of BIM, we will reduce rework or waste. Right? In Chile, we did two contracts, the same contract in line 3 and line 6 of subway, one in a traditional way, the other with BIM methodology. And the waste generated in the BIM methodology was reduced by 80% related with the traditional way of construction.
Yeah. Ricardo, what is perhaps technology that you think people haven't heard about, or you see a lot of people not knowing about that technology that you'd like everyone to see?
Artificial intelligence, taking measures, advanced program. When I show, look at this, without doing anything, you can get a plan, a drawing of the advance, measures, quantities, without human interference and without mistakes.
Yeah. Your message to the industry would be trust you know, trust the AI. Maybe trust, but verify. But trust the AI.
The AI in design, trust the AI in quantities, in advance, in program, in improvement of program, of planification, in everything.
Absolutely. That's great. Ricardo, thank you so much. It was absolutely amazing. It was an absolutely incredible podcast. We absolutely loved having you on. I feel I learned so much from this conversation. I can't wait to to keep talking. I don't know, maybe we'll have you back. Maybe the next one is live. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe we come to Spain. Or yeah, maybe Santander.
Yeah, maybe we go to Santander and take our equipment and do it in the museum when it happens. You know, when it's finally done. How great!
You're invited.
We just invited ourselves.
It was a real pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Real pleasure.